I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercise.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga.
Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
A lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around. It's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
DDP.
DDP. Radio.
So high five.
Well, hello, my fellow DDP Yoga Warriors. It is Wednesday night right here where I currently reside. It is 9 p.m. Eastern Time here in Raleigh, North Carolina, at the 274th store floor of the DDP Radio Megaplex in beautiful Raleigh, North Carolina. And on top of the DDP Radio Megaplex, we have an antenna that goes all the way to space, and space is the place that it launches down from through the Canadian mountains, over the Ontario Lakes, and blast into the home of Crystal Stewart, where she joins us live. And I hear that it's already reached the teens in outside of Ontario, Canada. So summer is fully underway. How are you, Crystal?
I'm okay. We're still cold, but yeah, we're okay. Nice to see you.
My whole life, I've been a really good hype man. Like, I'm really good at hyping stuff up. But the problem is, as a person, I rarely have anything to deliver after the fact. So I hype myself up to this point where I can no longer even come close to matching. So I do this huge intro, and I'm like, yeah, hi, it's me now. So
yeah,
I'm just a constant disappointment.
No,
we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. It's a beautiful night down here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And the thing about DDP Radio and the reason why this is so cool is we can blast this thing all over the world. We get little feedbacks of who listens and where they listen from. And, you know, we've got more dense populations, you know, listeners some places. And it's so fun watching these random like dots in the middle of some place you never, ever thought would download our podcast. And
yep.
You're wondering, like, don't they have a, it's crazy to see. And once again, I'm here on the East Coast, you're there in Canada, and we're touching base with our Warrior of the Week, I believe is in Arizona. Is that where Gary's in?
No. I'm in California, Riverside, California.
California. Crystal, you let me down.
I'm sorry.
But
my fault.
We'll bring him on there now because he had to give his own intro because Crystal is the fountain of misinformation.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
No, but we're going to bring him on right now. I'm really excited to have him on here and tell his story. I got a little bit of a short description and bio of all the things this guy has done, and man. We were talking about our war stories and who's got more banged up and who's more injured and who's overcame more. And I think Gary's got us all beat. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but, man, you were pretty banged up and you've come a long, long way and you've got a hell of a story to tell us. So welcome to the show, Gary the Gardener. Okay, no.
Well, thank you very
Gary
much.
Gary Gardener, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. I'm fantastic right now. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to win the award for who's the most beat up. That's just not something you want to win.
True.
But how far back do I need to go with this? You only have an hour, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And
I'll try to back.
So when we get into it, we kind of like to start from the beginning, the DDP origin story. And I don't even know if you have all this time to go through your roster of injuries and health problems, but let's say you were pretty banged up when you first came to us and started, you know, making some changes in your life. Why don't you tell us what was the catalyst for you to start making a change? Because it looks like, you know, if you didn't, you probably weren't going to have a whole lot of time left with us.
Well, I'll try to be brief with it, but, you know, because, yeah, my story goes back a while, and, you know, we'll just go through and hit the highlights on it. You know, I worked in automotive for most of my life, and I've been a big guy the whole time. I mean, you know, I was, you know, even since I was in high school, I'm, you know, 6'3", 6'4", and about 270. And, you know, when I was 20, I developed a autoimmune disorder called psoriasis. It's a skin disorder that, you know, if you want to learn more, look it up. But, you know, and then that just continually get worse. And then in about 2006, I was involved in a drug trial for what at the time it was a series of numbers, and eventually it became the drug that's out there called Stelara. And they use it for psoriasis as well as for Crohn's disease. But after the third injection, I mean, I was telling him every step of the way, it's like, hey, I'm starting to tingle. I'm losing sleep. And they're like dutifully noting stuff down, but not, you know, like it was no big deal to them. And the day after my third injection, I collapsed. You know, my ex-wife, came out. I just parked my truck and, you know, I'd been doing some, you know, remodeling of the house and whatnot. And she came out and she goes, you're turning purple. And about that time I hit the ground and off to the emergency room we go. And when I got there, my blood pressure was about 260 over 185 or something like that. And if you want to watch Dr. Scramble, that'll do it. And so they ran every test you can think of. And what they got through with is they said, we can't find anything wrong with you. But,
wow.
And then I was, at that point, it was off to, I was living in Utah at the time and went to University of Utah Med Center, and I ended up having an MRI done on my head. And this is the part where it gets a little fuzzy for me because I was really out of it at the time. I was a lump in a wheelchair. And I do remember them saying something about the erosion of the myelin sheath around the nerves. Basically, it's like a man-made version of MS where you have, it's like having the insulation stripped off your wiring. And then the wires touch. And so it's kind of like having a house fire and fixing the fire, with, you know, fixing the damage with duct tape. And, of course, they told me it's only temporary. That's 12 years ago, and I still have problems with that are related to it. Some of it's gotten better. But and then over time, you know, I developed back issues. And, you know, at this point I have scoliosis, I have stenosis, and I had sciatica. And I say had because it's gone now. But, I also was on some other meds for psoriasis, one of them, you know, being Embril. That caused me to gain an extra 100 pounds. At my heaviest that I remember seeing on a scale was 407. You know, as of this morning, I'm 265. So,
way to go.
Down 140.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You've seen my before and after picture. They're you know, hugely different. And,
exactly.
And you look younger too, like incredibly a lot younger. It's an amazing transformation. If you guys get a chance, head over to the DDP Yoga Success Stories website, and you'll find Gary's before and after picture there. It's pretty remarkable.
It's also look under. They have there's two different categories in the stories. Mine's under recovery and you know kind of a stuff where you know, for it wasn't just weight loss. I had lost some of the weight before getting to DDPY, and where I really started was a little over a year ago. I had a kidney stone that before I could get in and see my doctor went septic, and I ended up in the emergency room for a week. And my brother tells me there were two or three days there that were pretty sketchy, and he was making phone calls to my kids and letting them know, hey, your dad's not doing well. And so, you know, that had to have been a fun phone call. And, you know, from there I went to after a week, you know, I was hurting because they pumped me full of all kinds of fluid. And because of my psoriasis, they didn't know what to do with it. And being an autoimmune thing, when you're under stress, it gets worse. So I came out of a coma to where, you know, when I went into coma, it wasn't too bad. When I came out of the coma, it was horrible. And then I wasn't in any shape to be able to go back to the house at that point, so I went to a rehab facility for 3 weeks. And when I checked into the rehab hospital, they weighed me in at 380 pounds. And 2 weeks later, after feeding me a very restrictive diet and whatnot, I dropped 50 pounds in 2 weeks. Most of it was water. It was water. When I went into the hospital, I weighed about 350. So they put a lot of water on me while I was there. But they were getting me up to move and whatnot. And the first day or two, I could barely take one or two steps away from the bed with a walker and then sit back down, and I was wiped out for the day. And over the next, over a course of 3 weeks, they had me up and moving with a walker and doing stuff with the physical therapist. And I ended up where I could walk around the hospital, and then toward the end I was out, walking through the parking lot with the walker. And I was able to walk further than I had in a couple of years, which was a shock, because with all of the things I've had, it just kept getting worse. And there was no bounce back. Every time I got knocked down, there was no bounce back in recovery afterwards. And with this, I started to have some recovery. And when I got out, I got back to the house, and I was still very weak. I mean, for pretty much 2 years, I had been, stuck in a recliner, basically furniture. The only time I would get up was when I had to hit the restroom or I'd go to get in the kitchen. But I could stand for about 2 minutes, and if I would, to walk, I could walk out to my mailbox and back, but I'd be in excruciating pain doing it. And then when I got home from the hospital, I had 4 visits with an in-the-home therapist, which in my book, it was pretty darn well useless. Well, somewhere during this time, I remembered seeing the Arthur video. And the first time I saw it, it was like, this looks good, except for I can't stand that long. I mean, it looks like a good program, but I don't know how I'm going to do it. So when I got out of the hospital, I looked into it again, and lo and behold, they've come out with the rebuild program where you can start off in bed, and I'm going, hallelujah, this program's for me. And I saw that they had the free trial. I skipped right past that and signed right up, and watched a bunch of videos that night, and then the next morning I started with BedFlex 1. And for anyone who's done it, they know that one of the first things you do is you go up into a bridge. Well, bridge is not the most difficult and challenging exercise out there. And the first time I did it, I think I got my rear end off the ground about an inch. And at that point, I just remember thinking in my head, it's like, oh, boy, I got work to do. And there's, different things I've done on the DDPY Facebook group, where I've made comments where, make a comment and then say, it's like, see, yeah, I got work to do. And it's kind of a nod back to that moment. But I, went through the BedFlex series and then to the chair series. And when I got to the end of it, Chair Force 5, they started introducing, chair lunges. And I couldn't do those things to save my life. I didn't have the balance and I couldn't stay engaged. It was just wasn't working. So I went ahead and, said, well, I'm going to skip past it and go to, straight to Stand Strong 1. And, with the rebuild series, they have you use a chair. Well, when I first started, I had to use two, because one chair was not going to keep me standing. I had to have two to keep my balance, and I had was still very weak, and so I started going to the gym so that I could work on leg strength and whatnot, without having the balance issues creating a problem, which is a double-edged sword, because the balance issues help you get stronger as well. So you got to actually try and do both. But, over the course of, I went 13 weeks in the BedFlex, and then I did 13 weeks in Chair Force. And I remember in Chair Force, when you get into Chair 3, you do, they introduce squats. And in Chair 4, you're doing, I think you do 8, then 10, then 5. And, when I first started doing those, it was a struggle. But by the end of it, I was doubling up on almost all of them. And throughout the whole thing, I've been doing BedFlex 3, which just a lot of stretching. You do what they call can opener, which is like a figure four, and where you're stretching. And at this point, I've been doing that for about a year. I can go into a a figure four crunch, and I can almost touch my foot to my forehead when I do that. So flexibility has increased huge. After
awesome.
3 weeks, yeah, butt in if you want to stop me. Otherwise, I'll just keep going. But, you know, in ChairForce 3, not ChairForce, but BedFlex, after 3 weeks doing the what they call can opener or figure four move, I felt, you know, if you could feel, you know, with, you know, the tension on it, and all of a sudden it released a little bit. And from that day forward, I haven't had sciatica. And I had sciatica for about 8 years. So when it released, I mean, it was like, hallelujah. You know, can't even tell you how happy I was. And then went through, you know, through Stand Strong. I finished Stand Strong 5 weeks ago. And now
wow.
I mostly do a custom program, because I do a lot of other things besides I do DDPY on a regular basis, but I also throw in trips to the gym. I'll swim, I'll ride my bike. And currently I'm 5 weeks out of my wheelchair. I can walk on a good day. I can walk a mile and a half. And the crazy thing is, I mean, if I showed you my x-rays, my L3, 4, and 5 is where I have scoliosis. And those two discs are pretty much gone. And the L3, 4, and 5 are bone on bone. And the first time they showed me my x-ray, I looked at it and thought, oh, my gosh, that ought to hurt worse than it does. And it hurt bad. And, you know, but over the course of time, you know, strengthening my core, I have, at this point in time, I am very proud to say that I am pain-free. I like you said, I can walk up to a mile and a half, and it's my back isn't what gets me. What gets me is my hips, because because I've been in a wheelchair and in a recliner so long, my hips are really tight. But if my neighbors have gotten used to seeing me doing diamond cutters, fold forward, and all kinds of stretches while I walk.
That's awesome. That's
incredible.
And
I was just thinking. On that, the Paige always will say that, you know, anyone can do, it's for everyone. It's for the extreme level athlete. Your first goal is to be able to stand up out of your wheelchair for more than 2 minutes. And then the same program that you do is being done by people at, like, you know, top class football players and wrestlers. Like, everyone's goals is different, but it really hit me how remarkable what the spectrum is, you know, people who are doing this. And, you know, you started out so immobile and unable at the time. And you know, you hit that first goal of you know, getting up out of a chair, and then, you know, the next step, and the progression keeps going on. But it was just remarkable to me, the vast, ability between people who do this program. And when he says everyone can do this, you know, it's not a load of BS. It's legit.
Yeah, it's not a load of BS. I'm here to tell you that if I can do this, anyone can do it, because, you know, it's hard to start off at a lower spot than I was at. Yeah, this program isn't fantastic. I have several shirts with DDPY on it, and, you know, I've been going to the same grocery store for, you know, a number of years. And when I first started, there was a couple of people there I mentioned that, you know, that I was going to be losing weight, and I was, you know, using DDPY. And of course, they're like, oh, that's great. You know, you go. And, you know, here we are a year. Now it's been July 16th is when I started. So I'm not even, you know, close to my 1 year mark yet. And I go into the grocery store now. I'm 140 pounds less than when they first saw me. I'm out of my wheelchair and walking through the store. The first time I walked into the store and I didn't have a wheelchair or any kind of assistive device, there was there was more than half a dozen of the employees that were just, you know, beyond excited. They were just geeked out seeing me in there. Every time I still go in there, they're like, holy cow, I can't believe how good you're doing. Which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
I mean, my doctor is hilarious, because he's just beyond geeked out about my progress. I had a rheumatologist that the last time I saw him, you know, they're going through, and one of their main things is like, so how are your pain levels? And I'm going, honestly, minimal. And, you know, they were going through, and it's like, you know, at this point, you don't really have a reason to come back. Call us when you need us. And
I'm sure a lot of those doctors get, you know, the patients that they're advising, you gotta get healthy, gotta lose weight, gotta, you know, work on this, work on that. And it's one of those, I'm sure as a doctor, when patients come back to back, it's frustrating to see there's no changes and stuff. But when someone like you comes in and they've taken their health and their future and their well-being into their own hands and taking it seriously and proving that you can actually do this, it's got to be good for like people like that to see people putting in the effort, because there's a lot of people who are in situations that are beyond their control, but there are things you can do in that situation that is in your control to make things even minutely better. There's little things you can do every day to make your life better.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And the main thing is keep moving. Just keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. So, you know, I mean, when I first started, everyone's like, you know, what are your goals? Well, my big out there pipe dream was to get out of my wheelchair and walk. Well, I've already done that. I thought that was a goal that might have been, you know, if it took me 2 years, it wouldn't have surprised me. I mean, it was a goal that I was going to work toward, but I had no idea I would hit it in 9 months. Yeah, it's been crazy.
And what a constant reminder too, because you know where you've been and where you could end up again if like you let things spiral out of control. So like you've been to the rock bottom. You've walked rock bottom. You know what I mean? It physically. And when you walked rock bottom, once you pulled yourself out of that, you know, the view from the top, you can look down and you can say, I don't want to go down there again.
Oh no! You know, there's times where on the Facebook group, you know, you'll see people who are struggling with motivation. Like, what do you do to hit the mat? You know, what keeps you going? And I can look at a recliner, look at my wheelchair, and go, no, I've been in those plenty. I don't want to go back. I have to do this. I have to do it all the time, because if I quit, I will end up back in the wheelchair and basically bedridden again. And I'm going to put that off as long as humanly possible. But, and I, like I say, I've had people go, how do you stay motivated? And, you know, when I started, I believe it was on July 16th. I'd have to look the exact date because I don't count the days. But, when I first ordered it, that's when I made the decision to do this. I don't make the decision every day. I made it once, and I haven't changed my mind yet. So I even on the days when I don't want to do it, you know, you just push play and you get started. And once you get going, you keep going. Some of my best workouts have come on days when I did not want to work out.
Yep.
I've had now.
Exactly.
Some of the things that I've done, would I recommend others do what I'm doing? Heck no. You know, find what works for you. When I would go to the gym, trying to get my legs stronger, I've had a number of times, and I posted these in the group. But I've had times where, you know, I'm doing leg day and, you know, you go through and look at it and you go, I posted it and someone looking at it going 2 to 2.5 hours, 1500 to 1900 calories. I'm going, yeah. And they're like, how did you do that? And it's, well, you don't start there. You have to build up to that. And
right.
I don't work that hard anymore. I've cut way back. I do. You know, at this point, you know, I've listened to Jared Leland. He had done he's been on the groups, and he made a comment that, you know, all you really have to do is 1 hour, 5 days a week, and just give it your all while you're doing it. And so I looked at that and said, okay, I'm going to give that a shot. And I had plateaued it. My weight had plateaued close to 300 pounds. And, you know, I basically – they made minimal changes to diet or food plan, whoever, for those who don't like the word. And I mean, it was minimal. And then, but I cut my workouts to doing an hour of DVPY. And since then, I've actually started adding, bike rides and things back into it. But, as soon as I did that, I was working out way less and I dropped 11.5 pounds over the next week and a half. So I'm going, okay.
There you go.
Message delivered. And since then, like I say, I'm not working out. I'm not trying to kill myself for 2 to 2.5 hours, 5 days a week. And, I'm down to 265 now. And, my goal is, I would like to get down in the neighborhood of about 235. I say I'm 6'4". My doctor informs me that I'm 6'2". But, you know, that's because of the scoliosis. At one time, I was a legit 6'4".
Wow.
That's incredible, your transformation. Well, and because of the, you know, the neurological damage that was caused by that drug trial I was on, and also atrophy from being in the chair and the wheelchair for so long, there are some exercises that, you know, are more challenging than others. And when it comes to anything where it's presses and push-ups and anything like that, I'm still nowhere near as strong as I need to be. And when I do like the leg press, a max on a leg press for me is about 235. And that's even, you know, I mean, that's way over, you know, not even close to body weight. But I could do machines like the abductor and adductor machines that the machine will go to 260, and I can do those for reps. And the other one that is, you know, was surprising is the back extension machine. And for those who don't know what that is, it's kind of like doing a reverse sit-up. You're in a crunch position and you're sitting up and straightening out, and it works your back and your glutes and your hamstrings and whatnot. And the first time I did that, I'm going, okay, my back is really messed up, so I'll take it easy on it. And I did set it at like 50 pounds or something. If that machine wasn't bolted down, I would have thrown it across the room. And so I started adding a little bit of weight to it, and then I got to a certain point and was, you know, where it was starting to get a little, you know, get some weight on it. And I just remember thinking, I probably ought to wait till tomorrow and see how I feel, because I didn't want to push it to the point where I injured myself. And the next day, right, I felt fine. So the next time I went to the gym, I added more, you know, I added a little more weight and then, you know, a little more reps. And I haven't been into the gym for a couple of weeks now, but the last time I did that machine, you know, I did the workup sets where I started about 130 and then I step it up, you know, like 40 pounds at a time, or maybe even to the 30 or 40 pounds at a time. And my final three sets were, I did 25 reps. As soon as my heart rate came down, I did 30. And then when it came down again, I did 40 reps at the max of the machine, which is 260 pounds. If it would have more weight, I would do more weight. And, you know, there's the guys in the gym that are the gym rats that are, you know, just buff. And there's the two machines side by side, and I'll go through and it's like, hey, you know, I'll challenge them. And, you know, if you're going to let an old man beat you, and the and they look at me and they're going, yeah, I'm not going to do that. but what I, you know, would I recommend anyone else do it? No, you got to do what's right for you. The reason I do it is because with the scoliosis, my spine isn't really supporting me. And, you know, Scott talked about it last week, where you have to get your core strong and do what's called internal bracing. And that's essentially what I've been doing, so that anytime I'm standing, it's, you know, like make a fist and, you know, try and flex your arm. My back is in tension the entire time I'm standing. So if I go for a walk around the block, the first lap, my heart rate's normal. The second lap, my heart rate will get up into, it'll get up into the lower end, edge of the red zone. And once it gets there, I can stand in one place. If we were just standing having a conversation, my heart rate will stay at about 130 just talking to somebody.
Wow.
It's just because those muscles are in tension the whole time. So I'm, you know, my back muscles are in dynamic resistance for however long I'm standing and just walking around. So, you know, I can be on my feet, you know, walking around like that. If on a long walk, my hips are what gets me. But if I go to a store or something where I'm stopping and doing things, excuse me, I can be out and about for hours at a time. But eventually I'm going to have to sit down and give my back a rest. But even during that, I'll have to stop occasionally and, you know, throw it, you know, a few diamond cutters, fold forwards and whatnot, just to get the muscles to stretch out again.
Yeah.
Small price
That's
to pay.
Amazing.
I'm mobile. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, you know, but I don't have, you know, muscle soreness and, you know, the ache like that from having your muscle, that kind of muscle soreness, that's nothing. The pain that you get from nerve pain or from the bones and whatnot, that's gone completely. I don't have, haven't had that for months.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's more than amazing. It's a miracle.
That's, but you know, there's it's you did that. You know, anybody, somebody in the same situation
right.
with you that didn't have the drive and put in the work to do that, it wouldn't have magically, you know, fixed them. You know, you put in a lot of work there, and you need to be commended for that kind of determination and hard
Thank
work
you.
And effort you put in there, because there's a lot of people that are hurting that don't that are told that they can help themselves and are told that they can do stuff to help themselves, and whether they're so dejected they don't believe it, or the pain is so excruciating they can't imagine themselves in that next, you know, level, you're somebody that they can look at and say, he just took one step. Like, that's the first step is the most important step. And then after that, it's just white knuckling in it, you know, through some uncomfortable situations and just repetitive, you know, getting back there every day. Even if you accomplish nothing more than yesterday, just getting there in the schedule and just over and over again, repetitive, just getting on the mat every single day. And man, you're an inspiration.
Absolutely.
That's an incredible, incredible achievement.
And you
know, need
a lot of praise.
So many people when they first start, you know, they're asking, where should I start at? And, you know, that is such an individual thing, because you got to find, you know, a lot of people will go, well, okay, well, you're in your mid-30s. Start off with beginner. And it's like, well, hold on. How beat up are you? Is, you know, if you're really beat up, start off in the rebuild series. There's nothing wrong
yep.
with, you know, starting off in bed flex and start, you know, the bed flex series, you're doing a lot of cannonballs and, you know, you're doing side twists. And the first time I did the twist where you flop your knees to the left or the right, the first time they went for that move, with the way my back is, I went, ooh, I don't know if this is going to be good. And I was really tentative about it. Well, right now, that is one of my favorite things to do, because it keeps my spine, you know, freed up and whatnot.
Yeah.
That and, you know, and just doing cannonballs, going into safety zone. I've been doing safety zone in, you know, as part of my version of Bed Flex 3 for, gosh, months and months and months. And you just, you know, getting your back straightened out and doing all the stretching and whatnot, and just, you know, build on it, you know, little by little. I mean, you know. Anyone who looks at what I've done, it nothing happened quickly. It was, you know, there's very few things where you can say from, you know, one day to the next you saw any difference at all. You know, the main thing is just, you know, every day you've got to be doing it and doing something. You know, I've had plenty of times where people are like, well, how do you stay motivated for this, that, and the other? Well, you know what? I've had my times where there were, you know, I can't remember what month it was, probably in September or October, where my weight plateaued, and I'm like, okay, I'm stepping on the scale and nothing's changing. I'm working, and I'm, you know, my diet was still tight at the time, and, you know, of course you get the same answers back from everybody, because everyone's gonna go, oh, you're building muscle and whatnot, but it's still frustrating when you aren't seeing the changes. And I wasn't seeing as much of the changes on the tape measure as I thought I would at that point. But I just kept working at it and just kept working at it. Figured it, you know, I was getting more flexibility. I was feeling way better. You know, I got to the point where, you know, I still couldn't stand up and walk, but my pain was gone. And, you know, so that allowed me to, you know, to push harder when I went to the gym. And eventually, you know, I had, it was either November or December last year when they had a challenge to work out every single day, do a workout every day. And by the end of the month, I was very happy to not do that. I'm 59, and, you know, I have to have rest days. My body needs to recover. I can't push every single day. Pushing
right.
every single day is what
I'm,
put
I'm
me down that way
either.
In the first place. Yeah, well, pushing hard,
no.
You know, I did that for years where, you know, the thing is, you know, pain will hit a certain level and it plateaus there. Granted, it can be excruciating, but once it hits that, it's not going to get any worse. So you can physically push through pain. But eventually when you have nerves that are being pinched, you know, you start walking and you're walking fairly decent. And then, you know, within about 50 steps, all of a sudden I'm walking like the Rusty Tin Man. But by the time I got to, you know, walked about 50 yards, all of a sudden the nerve is being pinched off and all, and now my extremities are starting to fall asleep. And if you don't find some place to sit down and rest, you're going to fall because, you know, you're losing control of your body at that point. You know, I mean, I just kept pushing and pushing. And that's part of what put me down where I was. Is, you know, just keep pushing.
I think one of the things
so,
that I...
Oh, sorry, Crystal. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying to Gary, I think one of the things that I appreciate most about your story is that there is... Being labeled disabled never means that you're unable.
So if anybody asks me, I rarely tell people I'm still considered disabled. I just tell people I'm retired.
Yep.
Yeah,
I say I'm stubborn.
Well, believe it or not, this last weekend I went ahead and with my background in automotive, I applied for a part-time job at an AutoZone. We'll see if they return my call. I put in for it, but on paper, I'm way overqualified for the job. I'm looking for something to do. Yeah, I'm looking to get out and about and doing things and whatnot. And I was a mechanic for years. And then I went, moved to the front office and was a service writer, then a service manager, and then I owned my own fleet shop. To work a counter in a AutoZone, I know how to use the catalogs and I understand parts. They may look at that and go, "Oh, you're overqualified." And it's like, no, I'm looking for a part-time job just for make a couple extra bucks and have something to do rather than watching TV and working out.
Right, and I think it's really important for anybody listening to this story, Gary, is that regardless of, wherever you may be now, what got you to where you are is your constant drive to show up. You've always shown up, no matter, you fell down, but you got back up. You took the time and the effort to show up for everything, and that
I was down for a number of years, I've been on disability since it's been almost 8 years now. So there was a period of time where I was, stuck in a chair, and didn't know what to do to get out of it. So I became furniture. And let me tell you, TV ain't that interesting, folks.
No, it's not.
Once I got out of that rehab facility, I saw some progress because I had, like I said, everything had been, I get knocked down a little bit and, I never have any bounce back from it. It's like every step I took backwards, I stayed there until I was, there wasn't much further to go down. And I was in the rehab hospital and they got me up and walking with the walker and I was making progress. At that point, it was like I saw a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel where there had been no light. And so it's like being in a cave. How do you get out? It's just pitch black. Well, once I had that glimmer of light, hey, there is something that can be done. At least I had a direction and I could start working toward it. And that's when I started with DDPY. And I said, just keep moving toward it, little bit at a time every day.
Yeah.
And there's never been a huge breakthrough where all of a sudden I could do something I couldn't do before. It's all been just, a little bit at a time every day.
And that's okay.
Oh, I'm okay with it. If you look at where I started and where I am now, to go from being, pretty much bedbound, and being able to get up and sit in a wheelchair and, tootle around on a power wheelchair now where I'm walking about with no assistance and I can hop on a bike and, I went off to a Walmart and it was like a, 8 mile round trip. And, that was just a fun, fun day out. To do that in 10 months has just been, it's been amazing.
That's
in
so
context,
awesome.
Everyone comes from different places and starts at different places too. And so many people, at times, and I've talked to a lot of people over the years that feel they're too far broken to fix themselves. And I always say, what is normal for like the athlete,
what is this, a single step to some, you know, a quadriplegic, a single step means everything. Like, you know, we all come from different places. Some people would give anything to be able to make a single step, and some people are at the place where they can run a marathon, and we all come in from different points. But I think it's, you know, you may be stuck in your circumstances medically, some people, but there's always something that we can do to better our situation in some way. It may not be perfect, it may not fit everything, but small steps are everything.
Absolutely. And, you know, the biggest battle is not physical. The biggest battle is mental. You've got to make the decision and, you know, stick with it. And, you know, I've had many people will come up and they'll look at, you know, because they, once they see them, they're like, oh, my gosh, you've lost so much weight. Oh, my gosh, you're walking. How did you do this? And, you know, I'll go through and, you know, it's like, well, let's see. Eat right. Consume less calories than you burn. Exercise, and at that point they're all going uh-huh, because they've all heard that before. I said, you know, at that point, you know, the final ones, you know, would be get good rest and don't quit. Well, guess which one they go, the don't quit's the one that gets them every time.
Yep.
I mean,
people
people don't like to hear it. So, you know, eat right and exercise is the big thing. That's, you know, just and don't quit.
People are almost disappointed when you give them the answer, which is so basic and so simple. We've all heard it a million times. Like, they were looking for the secret code, the secret handshake to let them in a club where you lose weight and everything gets feels better. But some people kind of get resentful when, how'd you do it? I ate well and I exercised, because they want that magic answer. But it is, there's no simple way to do things. It's just, it's all uncomfortable. It's all a growing process,
but the most important part is doable.
You can't be allergic to sweat.
you just got to do it. The biggest, you know, challenge is, you know, between your ears. You got to just, you know, you can't allow yourself to not do it. But I've had. I mean, I've not been perfect at any of this. I don't think anybody ever has. I've had, you know, times where you go through and you go, okay, I'm out and about, you know, I'm going to stop off at a Chipotle's and have a burrito. And, okay, it's got rice and it's got beans and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you, if I did that once or twice a week and ate perfectly clean the rest of the time, I will gain 2 or 3 pounds that week. And then I'll go, you know, the following week, you eat clean for the entire week, and you lose that 2 pounds back, and you go, oh, I can stop and get one burrito. You know, and, you know, you can end up gaining and losing the same 2 or 3 pounds over and over again and not understanding why. In my case, I have to, you know, it's finding the balance between how much carbs I can have. I feel, I've never done a true version of the phase 1, 2, and 3. I think when I first started off, I was closer to a phase 2. And then, you know, at this point, it's closer to a combination. I would call it either dirty keto or carb cycling. On my, you know, my rest days, I will eat, you know, pretty much like keto. It's going to be, chicken breast and veggies. On the days where I work out and, you know, I'm working out hard, I will add either rice or potatoes or something like that into the equation. But I'm still working on finding the right balance on the amount of carbs to do that so that I continue to lose weight. But if I get too much carbs, then I, you know, kills my losses for the week. And, you know, the amount of calories that I eat is probably less than, if you look at the scales, they say, well, your height, your weight, your target, you know, for what you're looking at, you should be doing this. I end up having to actually eat less than that to be able to do anything. And then I have a Fitbit that goes through and calculates stuff and tells you that, oh, you burned 5,000 calories today. Okay, well, then how come if I eat more than, 2,300 calories, I gain weight, But it's not just the calories. It's if I eat, too much carbs in that mix, I've got to keep a higher ratio of protein and fat with the carbs and whatnot. And if I don't, if I get too much carbs in there, even if I'm on my my numbers as far as calories, I'll gain weight. You know, and that takes a while to figure out. It took me a long time to realize, you know, what was happening and why it's happening, and I'm still trying to find, you know, the balance in there to make it happen. But I think I'm pretty close right now.
Yeah, and you know, over the years of me being here, that's the one thing that everybody always says. It's not the exercise that's the hardest. It's the eating.
I wouldn't even say it's hard. You know, I mean, well, in mine, being in, you know, in a coma for a week, I shook my caffeine addiction. A year and more, you know, whatever beyond that, I was one of those people that drank probably 3 liters of Dr. Pepper a day.
Wow.
And, you know, yeah, I was one of them. I drank my calories. And after being in the hospital, I didn't have the caffeine headaches. And being in the rehab hospital for the next 3 weeks, they weren't giving me any sugar. And so by the time I got out of the rehab hospital, I was 1 month caffeine and sugar free. So I pretty much had it out of my system. So when I came home, just made sure there was none of that stuff in the house. And
right.
I'm still, you know, and then one of the craziest things that, you know, never would have occurred to me, you know, I can't remember how many months I was in, about 4 months. And, you know, I thought I was doing pretty good. So it's like, okay, I'm going to go to a movie. And so it's like, okay, splurge. I'm going to have, you know, popcorn and a drink. And I was fine at the movie. The next day, I was in so much pain, and I told, what was it? Was it, you know, the salt or what? So the next time, I mean, you know, like a month later, I went to a movie again, and I'm going, okay, I'm not going to have that popcorn. So I just had a soda. Next day, I was in pain. Okay,
yep.
Message delivered. Sugar equals pain for me. I can't have sugar anymore. And to kind of back up a moment, when I went to my doctor, I used to have I was on blood pressure meds, I was on cholesterol meds, I was considered pre-diabetic, and they had me on metformin. I'm off of all of those now, and I took a picture of my blood pressure machine. I went to the ride that I took off to Walmart. I went for an 8-mile ride, and when I got home, I sat down and took my blood pressure, and my heart rate was still at, you know, at about, I think it was 75 beats a minute. So I, you know, hadn't been resting very long, and my blood pressure was like 110 over 60 or something ridiculous. So it's dropped considerably. And
yeah,
since July, my resting heart rate has gone from about, I think it was about 74 down to 53. So that's
a huge difference. Those numbers are huge, and that's where, you know, so much of the proof is in the pudding lies, is those blood work and those numbers and stuff. But we are,
and that's all.
We only have a few more minutes to wrap up here before they kick us off, and I want to ask you something. I've asked this a few people who have had serious health problems that have come on the show, and sometimes it's uncomfortable to kind of, you know, face an alternative reality. But in another dimension, in another reality, in another world where you don't decide to make that change right now, in that same time span, a year later, where do you think you'd be right now? Would you still be in the recliner? Would you, you know, when you think about that, is that a motivator for you?
With,
what could have been
with all of the things that I had
right
going
now?
On, yeah, if I didn't make any changes, at best, I would still be in the recliner and in the wheelchair. But, you know, I essentially almost came off of my deathbed, you know, when I went in the hospital. I was in really bad shape. When I went into the hospital, you know, my blood pressure had dropped down to 65 over 40. And if you get much lower than that, you're not breathing. But, yeah, so, you know, if I didn't make any changes, at best I would still be, you know, sitting in the recliner watching TV. And at worst, I wouldn't be here now, because I mean, I was not on a good, you know, on a good road for anything.
Wow.
Changes had to be made.
That's not a hell of a motivator. I don't know what else.
Right.
We're glad you stuck around, man. We're glad you put in the effort every day, and it's
inspirational
to so many people.
I've got daughters that are in their mid-20s, and not, you know, I figure one day I'm going to get a call that says, "Hey, Dad, I'm getting married," and one of my biggest goals was to be able to walk my daughters down the aisle and to be able to stand through a reception. And I can do that now. So if I get, you know, I haven't gotten the call yet, but if I do, I'm ready.
Well, it's going to happen. And I can't wait to see the pictures, the video and all that fun stuff, because guarantee you'll have a couple of proud daughters with their old man walking down the aisle. So congratulations, man. That's a huge, huge accomplishment. And we appreciate you coming on, and we'd love to have you back on to kind of, you know, talk some more and keep us updated on how your story is. So we'll definitely be touch base in the future at some point.
Oh, no problem. Crystal can keep touch me, keep tabs on me in the DDPY group. This has been a pleasure. This is fun. I love doing this.
it's great having you.
We appreciate it, man. And just keep up the hard work, and we'll definitely keep in touch. And Crystal, I know you've had an exhausting week today, so I got a hell of a week in front of me. We're gonna be off next week, and I think you could probably pull this all together quite nicely and fire us off into the upcoming week with an inspirational quote that you may have in store for us.
Okay, it's a bit of a long one, but it's a good one. It's not super long, but I think it really applies. It is by someone named Casey Rose, and the quote is, "Someone who drowns in 7 feet of water is just as dead as someone who drowns in 20 feet of water. Stop comparing your traumas. Stop belittling yours or anyone else's trauma because it wasn't as bad as someone else's. This isn't a competition, folks. We all deserve support and recovery. We're in this together."
Wow. Well, that was topical. That was
here.
That was perfect. We were just talking about that. You pulled that all together quite nicely, and it's so profound. You know, where it's not
Thank
a competition,
you.
And we can all lift each other up and pull each other out and push each other to bigger and better and greater heights and bigger and better and greater goals. And let's all get there together, part of a big team, part of a big universe, Team DDP Yoga, Team DDPY. There's a lot of people out there who are on your side and going through something similar and is willing to kind of pull you up with us. So we appreciate you listening. We appreciate it, Gary, for coming on with us. And
Thanks, Gary. We'll be
off
next week.
Honor and a pleasure.
We'll be back. DDPradio.com, DDPY.com, the yoga, the DDPY workshops, all available at DDPyoga.com. And we will see you guys soon. Thank you guys for listening. It's been a hell of a show, a lot of fun. And until next week, you may not fix everything in a week, but you can do something to do yourself better. So own your life and own your week and do something to be better this week. And we'll see you guys next week. Thank you guys so much. Peace.
Kicked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige.
Oh!
Into the diamond cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
This has been a presentation of DDP Yoga and Blog Talk Radio.